Okay, we continue in the Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We're at the very bottom of page Pei Ches. Very last line under the three dots. And the last time we met, we had a very interesting discussion between the difference between Dveikus and Hislahatus. Dveikus means clinging, Hislahatus means being on fire. We said that Hislahatus was the effort, the activity which is required for a person to reach a destiny, while Dveikus is the experience of being connected to that which you wanted to reach, or to be connected to it. We gave the example of that's the 6 days of the week where you're trying to connect to Hashem, and the Shabbos where you already have the Dveikus, and you hope that eventually, even during the 6 days of the week, you have the Dveikus. So this is what the Nesil Sharm was saying, that where are you going to get Dveikus and Hislatus in our souls, and with Hashem's Torah, if we don't pay heed to His Gedulaso and Roma Muso, which will give, which will spawn in our hearts this Dveikus. So now that we've explained the two terms of Dveikus and Hislatus, what he's going to explain now is what are the terms Gedulaso and Roma Muso. Gedulaso means His greatness, Roma Muso means His loftiness. So what's the difference between greatness and loftiness? So we're standing at the bottom of the page. Komur, as we've said, Heina Dveikus, Vein Hislatus, Nimtsoim Kfar Besoch Adam. Dveikus and Hislatus is already found within the person. Next page, and now he's going to explain why. These aren't things you have to really find Dveikus. You don't have to find Hislatus. They are already within the person. And again, this was all going back to the main theme of if a person goes through his Avodas Hashem in a very routine way. That was the main problem over here. And and therefore, you don't. Where is that Dveikus in Hislatus going to come if you're not able to pay heed to the Gedulah and Romul? So he'll explain. Page pay test. Then in Lashami Yesh Bechalos Chamisha Chalakim. We know the Neshama has five parts: Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai VeYechida. HaChai VeYechida Nimtzayim Mechutz Adam. The two parts of Chai and Yechida way beyond the person. We're not even going to discuss them. Nefesh, Ruach, VeNeshama Heim Besoch Adam. But the levels of nefesh, ruach and neshama, they are inside the person. That's not exactly true. The neshama is not inside the person, but it's reachable by the person. Suhag dar b'chol. That's a general definition. Now, hislatus, that activity of the emotion of hislatus, being on fire, sheyeches l'chelak haruach. That is appropriate to discuss it in terms of the ruach. Ruach hi koach hatnua shebebriya. Ruach is the power of movement in the creation. It's the spirit. It's the wind. V'kach gam haruach shebenefesh. In other words, in a simple way, ruach, just on any simple level, as we've had last night, a lot of wind blowing. Wind is a power of movement. No question about it. Even on a simple level, you see the wind. It's a movement. So is the ruach within the soul. It is the power of movement of what? Of hislahatus, of being on fire. So where will you find this excitement and all that emotion that we're talking about here? It's in the ruach. Hislahatus inyana tnuah mehira. Hislahatus means, its concept is, a swift movement. Similar to a physical running, when a person runs very fast. So there is, as it were, a running of the soul, which spawns this fire, this being ablaze. Haratzoin benefesh, the ratzoin, the word ratzoin, what does ratzoin mean? Desire. What's the root of the word ratzoin? Milashan Ritza, from an expression of Ritza, from running. Okay? Now you can understand what it means. When I want something, I desire something, I have a ratzon, which means to say, who gufa hislatus, that itself is being on fire. When you want, what do you do when you want something? You go about getting it. You know, you get excited about it, right? You get emotional about it. You want it. You want something badly. So then you start acting on it. Your heart starts racing a little bit, and you get excited, get emotionally connected. So that's the etymological connection between ratzon and ritzon. Wanting and running. Running means like, I can't wait to get to it. Why does a person run? Why does a person run? Well, now they've been running for their health, but even running to get somewhere. Why are you running to get somewhere? Well, I very badly need to catch the bus, or I'm going to wait another hour for the next bus. You run for that bus. I want it badly. Get excited about it. You want a new home. You want whatever you want. You want the Maple Leafs to win, right? You get very excited about it, no? So that's the idea. Hu gufei hislatus, yesh ratzon sheket, v'einena begeter hislatus. There is a desire, a wanting that's a quiet one, and that is not the category of hislatus. Yesh ratzon boer, and then there's a burning desire. Shu begeter hislatus psocharim, that is the hislatus side of a person. If you really want something, then it's burning inside of you. If you don't really want something, then it doesn't burn so much. So that is hislahatus. So now that really is already in your, by your ruach. The ruach is capable of doing that. Hadvekas nimtzas kvar bebechinas neshama shelodom. Dvekas, on the other hand, that's already found in the aspects of the neshama of the person. The neshama that is reflected in the thinking of a person. Haneshama, as we say every morning, Elokai neshamish nesata bi tahorihi. My God, the soul, the neshama that you put inside me is holy. What does that mean? Hi einena yechola shalios dvuka v'arayim. It's not capable of not being attached to Hashem. Your neshama always is in a state of dvekus. Even if a person sins, I don't know what the word glody means. I looked it up in one of my dictionaries, and whatever it means. But he sins superficially, in one of the superficial aspects of the person. That's the only place where you could sin. If you sin, it's only on the external part. But the godly part that's deeply inside of you, Achelik l'kamimal, that godly portion from above, yefshel afrido mishorsho, you cannot separate it from its root. L'chein, therefore, Yisrael afal pi shechot Yisrael, that's why the rule is, a Jew, even though he sins, he's a Jew. As we've already explained, the Jew means that he has that neshama that's very connected to Hashem. Hulo yechol lehisnasek be'etzem abariyolim, he is not able to separate essentially from the Creator. Now, externally, you can allow yourself to be distracted, yeah. But the neshama itself inside you is never distracted from Hashem. It's always connected to Hashem. It could be that the outer layers of the person do not reveal this connection. In the depths of his soul, he is definitely connected. Therefore, each one of us has already Yesh hisladus lidavik baryom, you have that ability to be on fire, ablaze, to try to connect to the Creator. Uchol echad meitan yesh dvekas, and each one of us has dvekas. Hayisladus vadvekas nimtzayim bechelke neshama. The hisladus and the dvekas are found in different parts of the neshama. So what's our service to Hashem requiring? Vavodasal vavodasenu lahavshid es kochas haguf. And our service is to strip away the physical forces of the body and to reveal those elements of hislatus and dvekus that exist within the person. This is a theme that comes over and over and over in Chassidus. It's not that you have to create anything new. You just have to find what's already there or make use of what's already there. Right? The dvekus, you already have dvekus. It's not something you're in searching of, per se. It's there. what you have to do is you have to remove the layers that don't allow you to sense the dveikus that already exists. And as well, you've got a ruach that's very capable of hislahatus, that's running to Hashem. You've got to just attach yourself to that running to Hashem. So now the question is, Eich Megalim Zos, how do you reveal that? What's the blockage? Omer HaRamchal, that's what Litzadu then said. Im lo nisha el gdulaso v'al romamuso asher yoli b'libeinu atveikus hazeh. If we don't pay heed, we don't turn to Hashem's gedula and romamus that would spawn in our hearts this veikus. Im adam reitzel hagia lislatus achar b'ayri yolud veikus b'yisbrech. If you want to reach a level of being on fire after Hashem and cleaving to Hashem, you have to, I love this one, you have to reflect. That's what it's all about. Lo nisheh, when he says the words lo nisheh, that's lashon pniyah, an expression of turning, paying attention, heeding. Klomar, im lo nifneh, if you don't turn to Hashem, im lo niyacher es koach hanefesh, el gedulas over musa, if you don't focus and unify the forces of the soul to Hashem's gedulah and romamus. So you have to focus on the gedulah and romamus to bring this out. So now he's going to explain how you do that in general. What does that mean, turning to Hashem's Gedula and Romamus? It's interesting. I'm going through another shmuz in another sefer that I'm debating if I'm going to be teaching this this coming Shabbos afternoon. I don't want to give the cat away. But he's saying the identical thing, nearly, but he's talking about it regarding to Shabbos. This same idea regarding Shabbos, as we're going to come up now and discuss. He's saying like this: Hashi'iya el gdulas al vermamuso shal boris barach elain shtei hapchanos. This paying heed to Hashem's gedula and romamus; those are two definitions. Those are two levels. Yesh na'avodol isbayin begadlus habar. Yesh na'avodol isbayin romamuso. There's a service in which a person reflects on Hashem's quote unquote greatness. And then there's a service that reflects on Hashem's quote-unquote loftiness. What's the difference between greatness and loftiness? That's what we're going to talk about the next couple pages. Page Tzadi. Ma'al achilut ben gadlus and romamus. What's the difference between gadlus and romamus? Hamusak gadlus, the concept of gadlus, humusak atzmi. It's a concept that's an independent concept. V'nitein dugma, let's give an example. Yesh the mitzia shel yam. There's a concept called a yam, an ocean. Hayam hu gadol v'rachav yadayim. The ocean is big and broad. Hu nikra gadol. It's called big. Why do we call it big? Even in the Navi, we call the Mediterranean Sea the yam hagadol. It's called the big yam, even though it's not really big, but relatively big. If you're standing on the seashore, it's quite big. Madua, why? Certainly, it's in relation to something that's small. It goes without saying, something that's smaller than it. But the essential concept of gadol, who yachol lios gadol be'etzem, is that it's big on its own. Davar she'ein lo gvul, who be'etzem davar gadol. Something that has no boundary is essentially gadol, is big. By definition, it's big. Right? We'll see in a minute where he's taking this. Romamus, lofty. Lofty, that means it's high. Right? Hurak biyachas lekach sheyeshofel. It's only relation to something that's low. High has low. Right? Im ein shofel lo shayach romamus. If there's nothing lower, then there's no such thing as loftiness. Romamus inyana rak biyachas leshiflus. Loftiness is only a concept in relationship to lowliness. So, ain't self, something that's infinite, kivyachol as it were, hudavar gadol, it's a big thing. Ein lo gvul, it has no boundaries, v'zugad lusim, that's its greatness. But to define something that's infinite as lofty, zerak b'yachas l'kash eshem shom, that you only, to say something that it's lofty, it's only to something lower than it. Hagadol b'briya, who gadol biyachas l'katan. You're right, something big in creation is also big in relation to something that's small. Aval gadol be'etzem. But it's also essentially big. Shezeh Habor Yisbarach. That is Hashem. Hu Gadol Gam Lifnei Shehayu Nifraim. He was big even before there were creatures. Ein Lo Gvul, if there is no boundary, Zog Gdulos, so that's its bigness. Avol Roma Muso, but his loftiness, Hu Ram B'Yachas L'Kach Sheshvon. It's lofty in relation to the fact there's something lower than it. So, and that's why the essential names of Shem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, that's it. It's not Haromein. Even though we talk about Romamu Hashem Elokeinu, that's for us to make him lofty. But it's not, you know, Kel Rom V'Nisa, but it's not the essential. Essentials are Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Those are the essentials. So, the way he's explaining, you could argue on him a little bit, because he's acknowledging that big is still in relationship to small, but he's saying, as a Torah definition, big, I mean, the fact that we use big as a way to describe Hashem, of what Hashem, you know, is, as it were, so, he is big in and of himself, as it were. So, kishanachnu medavrim, lagia, lislatus, udvekus, varerelem, when we want to speak about reaching Hislahatus and Dveikus Hashem, Yeshakam Shnei Hisponanius, there's going to be two ways of thinking now. That's what Lutzado said. How are we going to come to Hislahatus and Dveikus if we don't pay heed to Hashem's Gedula and Romamus? So that means there's two Avodas over here. Yesh Hisponanus al Gadlus Haborev, Yesh Hisponanus al Romamus Haborev. There's a type of reflection about Hashem's bigness, and about Hashem's loftiness. And it's going to show you, in general, things we should be thinking about to get to both of these types of thoughts. The two different tracks. They're both important, as you'll see why. Haromamus, let's start with Romamus, the lower level. Hibiyachas lakach, that's in relation to what? Sha'adam nisbainin kama Hashem ram biyachas ushiflus shali. Person thinks and says, how lofty is God in relationship to me? So I explainus hamuvas besfarmakdo. Shim shodim tzarkli explainin b'shiflus atzim bromus ibori. This is the hispainus, the reflection that the holy books bring down, that a person should, he needs to reflect on his lowliness and Hashem's loftiness. B'yachas l'shiflus shel ha'ani kama havoreira. In relation to how low I am, how great is Hashem? Kesher Adam is learning. So when first starts thinking about this, Yesh Bozeh Shnechom, that also is divided into two parts. He already said the two parts. Humaor Esagilui Shalabori Shibikir Bo B'Shtei Ktzvot. He arouses the greatness of Hashem that is within side of us with two extremes. He arouses the revelation of Hashem inside of us through the essential reflecting of the loftiness of Hashem. How big, how high is Hashem? He also reveals the godliness inside of us with what? With the power of seeing how small I am. In both ways, God's bigger than you. If you focus on his bigness, on his loftiness, or you focus on your lowliness, each one, since it's a relationship term, if either one of the two sides is focused on, you've come to the conclusion of that relationship. If Hashem is higher than you, either focus on you being low or him being high, or both. That's all it takes, one or the other. Let's compare. That's what's the analogy to. Yesh lachafetz, there is an item. Ukdei lahastir oso, and if you want to hide the item, what do? Samu mesech, you put a covering over it. A blanket over it. Kishanachim rotzim lirosos hachafetz, and when you want to see the object, now let's think for a minute, let's try to think out of the box. Let's say this tape recorder. Okay? Very simple. I have the tape recorder, let's see if the camera gets it. The tape recorder? I've covered it up. It's okay. Yeah, I've covered it up. Okay, how are you going to be able to see this tape recorder? I got to think out of the box. There's two ways. The obvious one is you move the blanket, right? What's the other way?
Imagine it in your mind.
No, to see it. How could I see the tape recorder? Now that's the same thing. Make the tape recorder bigger. Make it bigger. Okay, now you couldn't imagine to make a tape recorder bigger. Well, let's say it was a balloon that was only a little bit blown up. Blow up the balloon. Imagine how, this tape recorder would be the size of a not blown up balloon. Right? So I can cover it up, or I could blow up the balloon. Blow up the balloon, it comes to the point where all of a sudden this starts lifting up. Lifting up, lifting up, lifting up, lifting up. And now the tape recorder goes from here to there, or the balloon. So you got this little piece of tissue over this huge balloon. The balloon has been revealed. Right? There's two ways to see something that's covered. You either take the cover off, or you make the thing that's covered bigger. You understand? Are you going to see how this fits into Avodas Hashem? Beautiful idea. So there's two ways. Olahaglas hachafetz, make the object bigger. Umemela hamesach lo yeser so. So the covering will no longer be able to cover it. Ki hagodol shel hamesach hu mesiyum, because the bigness of the cover is established. It's fixed. Ukeshehigdalnu esachavetz, when you make the object bigger, hamesach kvar lo master so. The covering can no longer cover it. That's one way. On the other hand, shenaktin eskol hamesach, we shrink the cover, right? We shrink its bigness. Shtei avsharis yikimru l'kach, but both possibilities cause what? Shamesach l'yaster tiros esachefetz. Both possibilities will cause that the covering will not hide us from seeing the object. So we didn't think of either of the two options. We just said, remove the thing. We said, no, you make the cover smaller. Shrink the cover. Okay, do you understand how this fits into our Avodas Hashem? We're on top of Tzadi Aleph. The Nimshal, now we're going to figure what's the reality. When we're talking about a person recognizing God, so when a person makes the reality of Hashem big to him, what is that which covers up Hashem? It's the covering of our bodies. Our bodies are so big. We're so great and wonderful that we accomplish so much in our lives and we're all powerful. That covers up the reality that there's a very big God in this world. And our bodies are big covers. So if you make God bigger, then the body is no longer able to cover the godly part. Because the godliness that we recognize before ourselves is truly much bigger than any body can conceal. Right? That's one way. You focus on how awesome and great Hashem is. Just start thinking what the power of Hashem is. Right? What He's capable of doing. And that's unbelievable what He's capable of doing. Meidach, on the other hand, kasher adam yispanein b'shiflus asmo, when a person reflects on his own smallness, yispanos b'shiflus asmo, yispanos lahakti nasani. The reflecting of the person himself, the loneliness, shrinks the eye. Kemo ha'haktana shel ha'mesach. That's like you're shrinking the cover. Kishu makti nes ha'mesach, m'mele roi nes ma'sheish ma'charov. If you shrink the cover, you'll be able to see what's behind it. Imkein comes out. When we talk about reflecting on God's loftiness, and the loneliness of the eye, this is for one purpose. It's to reveal the Creator in the mind and heart of the person. Hey, how do we do this? There's two extremes. Either the person increases his recognition of the reality of Hashem. On the other hand, it is the recognition of the smallness of man. Then the covering shrinks. The object, as it were, got bigger. Then you're certainly able to see the Creator, the true Creator. This is what we call hispainenus in relationship to recognizing the loftiness of Hashem and the lowliness of man. Isn't that a beautiful idea? Right? That's what he's saying. How are you going to get to Dveikus? How are you going to get to Slatus? See, why do people not run after Hashem? Very simple. Why are people not coming to Torah classes? Why, you know, anything about Yiddishkeit, it's the toughest sell in the world. Why is it? Because people don't need God. Plain and simple. You don't need Him. What do I need God for? I can make a living on my own. I can keep myself healthy on my own. I can give myself, quote unquote, happiness on my own. I can give myself narcotics without anybody's help. All kinds of narcotics. So what do I need God for? So your body is very big and God is very small. That's all. So why would you ever think of running after Hashem? What do I need Him for? You're so big, right? That's really what Gaiva is. That's why Hashem says, me and the Baal Gaiva can't stay in the same place. What does it really mean? It's you're so big, you're covering up Hashem. So where's Hashem? It's just, it can't be. You've filled the whole place. You've covered the whole reality. So a person covers up his whole reality, so then there is Hashem, it gets diminished, as it were, because you put a blanket over him. You cover up so much space, there's no space for Hashem. So one or two things can happen. Either Hashem can make you small. You can take care of yourself. I'll show you can't take care of yourself. You lost your job, number one. You can't make any more money. Finished. Hey, God forbid Hashem will make you sick. Now you can't even do anything. And all of a sudden you became very small. Very small. Oh, then all of a sudden a person then begins to go to the rabbi and says, maybe you should pray for me. Why? Because the person became small. Right? That's one way. Or on the other hand, Hashem can show you how big He is. He can make all kinds of storms and do miraculous things. And we say, oh, look how big He is. When Hashem shows, He does things that you're not able to do. Right? So that's Hashem directing it. His bonus is you directing it. Why do you have to wait for God to make you lose your job? Why do you got to wait for God to make you sick, God forbid? Why do you got to wait for God to make a miracle? You yourself have the mind to be able to go through this process and to describe how small you are. It's not meant to depress you. It's not meant to depress you. It's just to say, you know, I'm alive by the good grace of Hashem. I do nothing to make myself live. Even whatever I do, I exercise, I watch my weight. That's all because Hashem helps me. That's all. Hashem helped me. I didn't do anything. I can't do anything. What can I do? Even my thinking comes from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. Right? So, and then you look at other people who have, you know, been diminished. And you realize, I could be diminished just like them. And just think about that. If you're that small, then obviously, all of a sudden, the blanket is shrinking. And then you think about how great Hashem is. Look what Hashem can do. Look at the whole universe. The whole universe. The stars. The solar system. Everything. Hashem made it all. You go on a starry night and you look at every single star. Boy, who made all that? Hashem, right? The Navi says, look who made all this. Hashem made it all. Whoa, is He big. What's happening? What's happening? You're getting a God consciousness. You're getting a God consciousness. And you could be so overwhelmed by that, that's something that you want to run after. And on one level of the Ruach level, and the Neshama level, it's coming out. It's coming out. You know, then there'll be further things, but that you're able to be, you can't be davuk, you can't cleave to anything if you don't know that it exists. If you don't know that it exists, how can you cleave to it? So you can cleave to Hashem when you realize how great and awesome He is. And he says, that's something I want to be connected to. That's your hislatus. That's your hislatus. And then you'll reach further levels of realizing that I already am connected. But that's a little further down. But clearly, he's saying, how are you going to reach it if we don't even pay heed to his romamus. If you're not even thinking about his romamus, how are you going to ever, what, how are you going to realize you're already attached to him? Where's the him? The him is, doesn't exist. Or you want to run to him. He's got to exist. How do you make God exist in your mind? It's through these the two activities of developing the romamus of Hashem. That's pashut, and that needs just time to think about it, and that's what happens during davening. What are we spending most of our time in davening? What are we saying if we're able to understand the words? What are the words saying? It talks about how great and awesome Hashem is. Borei Rufuos, Osa Yeshuos, all that by the brach of Yotzer, or all the things that Hashem does, right? All the things that He does, Matzmiach Yeshuos, Osa Tzedakos. Baal Muhammad. He's the master. He does everything. You keep saying that. Right? He's doing all those things. You read about Kriyas Yamsuf, Oz Yashir. Jewish people saying about Kriyas Yamsuf. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Why are we saying all those things? I mean, the problem is we just say them. It's hard. You have to dive in quickly, unfortunately. You just think about what does it mean he took us out of Mitzrayim? What does it mean he took us out of Mitzrayim? What does it mean he split the Yamsuf? What does it mean? Mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. He renews every day in his kindness the acts of creation. You know what that means to keep this world running? Can you imagine how awesome he is? So davening is lifting up Hashem. It's lifting up Hashem. That's what you're trying to accomplish. So then, if you've done that, that's the stages of davening, right? Then you can come to Shemoneh Esrei. Where that is supposed to be, you achieve a level of dveikus. Now that you've been running to get to God, right? That he slaps you. That's why you're davening. You should be on fire when you're davening, no? You should look at davening is the same thing like shops. It's all come the same ideas. I'm trying to make an appointment to reach God. Now, what gets you more, let's say you have an appointment with a client, what gets you more excited to see the client? Or not? There's some clients you're not excited to see, some clients you are excited to see. Would you be excited if Bill Gates called you up and says, I'm interested in a business venture with you? Would you be excited? Why? Because you know how much money you can make. You just think about Bill Gates, you think about billions of dollars, and that could be mine. You know, or forget about Bill Gates. What if you could get a time to be with a great holy rabbi? You get a chance. You know, it's impossible to get to these guys. Someone says, "I'll tell you, I'll get you in with Rebbe Yoshe for half an hour." Whoa, half an hour with the bub of a rebbe, private, right? Whoa, man, all your problems. You can finally talk to somebody about all your problems, right? You think you'd be excited? No, your heart would start beating a little bit. I remember when I went to see the Ger Rebbe, my heart was beating. When I got in front of him, I was like, you know, right? There was some excitement going on over there, and I only spoke, you know, only saw him for maybe a minute, right? But that's what davening should be. You're meeting somebody bigger than Gates, bigger than the Bubba of a Rebbe. He's bigger than everything, right? How do you know that? That's what you're saying in the words. The words that really should be hisponanus. It's hisponanus. Those are the Sukkot Zimra and the next level of Birchas Kriyas. It's all types of hisponanus. Different aspects of the soul are being engaged to be misponane, to get you excited, right? So you could say during the earlier parts you're davening loudly and you're shuffling and you're this and you're that and you because you're really getting excited. Because you're on fire, because you're trying to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now you start the Shemoneh Esrei. If you've done enough of that, you realize now I'm here. And a real Shemoneh Esrei would be that you've hit the neshama, you've hit the neshama. The neshama is open. The dveikus is there, and the Shemoneh Esrei is the state of the dveikus with Hashem. And that's why the Rabbi Gemara said, "Halavai we daven a whole day." What does it mean, halvai, we daven a whole day? Halvai, you'd be having dveikus all day long. You'd feel you're there all day long. But that's not the way human nature is. We've got to go through the efforts of doing this. So you don't have to daven per se. If you just sit down and meditate on these ideas, you could reach a state of dvekus sitting in your chair, not moving around, not doing anything, and you'd be able to reach that state of dvekus. And that's what Hashem created us for. That's what He created us for. That's what the others were able to achieve. So this is his bonus on the Romamus. His bonus on Romamus. Okay, now, comes the next one. Now after the three dots there, three triangles. His bonus no sephesi, his bonus al gadol sabori. The additional reflection is reflecting on the greatness of Hashem. What's that? Kavishi b'yarno, as we explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu godol gam lo b'yachas l'kach sheish katan. Hashem is big even without having to make a relationship between something smaller. Hu godol betzem, He's essentially big. Mamela, consequently, kishabon l'spoinim b'gadlus, when we think about His godless, yeshiz bonin lo rak b'kash yipulas av chazokas u kabiris yosur mimash yadam yachol yifol, we reflect not just that His actions are stronger than what we can do, it's that a person can't make the wind blow, can't bring the rain down. Hashem can do that. It's not only that which makes Him bigger than us. But to reflect on the idea and to understand that there's no concept of smallness by Hashem. There's no boundaries. He's infinite. You know, and Rav Dessler and others, they talk about things you could do to think about that. You know, you figure, you look at the seashore, and you take a bird, and a bird takes one grain of sand. Now, a grain is very small. One grain of sand, he removes it from the seashore. Now, how long will it take the bird to clear the seashore from sand? It'll take forever, right? It'll take forever. God's bigger than that. Right? That's one mental thing you could do. He's bigger than what you, the biggest thing you could believe in, He's bigger than that. You've got to think about that. Right? Now when you do that, what happens when you do that? Kasher Adam, he's pointing his head. When you think about that, who bets him, he's essentially Bokea Esko Maschayakuf. He has broken through every covering of the body. Kol mitziyoso shel hanivra, the whole reality of the created being, ubimyuchad haguf, and especially the body, he gvul, has a boundary. Hagvul hu gvul besoch gvul besoch gvul. It's a boundary within a boundary within a boundary. That's how small you are. At a tzimtzum achron shel gvul, until the most extreme boundaries. V'kasher adam misponem b'mitziyos havor yisprach she'en lo sof. When you think about the reality of Hashem that has no ending, you think about something that's beyond any essential understanding of a body. That's what I said before recently about that email they send you about trying to see how they first magnify something that's very small. Do you think it looks big? And then they, what do you call it, reduce it. Right? You could take an ant, and if you magnify it, it looks like a monster. Right? But then, and take a human being, it can look like a monster, right? But then you reduce, you pull back the image, and then you see the human being, he is in a house that's bigger than him, which is on a street that's bigger than the house, which is in a village that is bigger than the street, that's bigger than the house, that's bigger than the person, and then there's a city that's bigger than the village, that's bigger than the street, that's bigger than the house, that's bigger than the person. As you're moving out, you know, and then you're moving up, you're getting, from taking the satellite view, where's the person? Where's the person who looked so big before in the satellite? It's gone. As a matter of fact, the Earth doesn't look so big. And then the satellite goes further, and now we're in the Milky Way galaxy. The Earth, I don't even think, maybe is a spot. Maybe is a spot. And then you look to the whole universe. Then the Milky Way galaxy is maybe a spot. So you get to see how small man is. And we haven't yet begun to reach what Hashem is. Right? That's the infinite. Right? That is now understanding it. Next page, study base. Lufiza Navi Nesomika Marshall. Now we can understand the depths of the analogy. If in the world there could be something that was infinite, it's not possible if it was. Him shayach hoyo lahamid mesach shamasol. Could you even contemplate to have a cover to cover it? Lo, you would never contemplate. Im yesh l'chavit zgvul, because if the object has a boundary, nitin lahatziv mesach l'chol arach zgvul, you could try to put a blanket over it. No matter how, even a house, you could figure a way to cover a house. It's big, but you could cover it. Avin l'chavit zgvul, but if there's no boundary to the object, ein efsharis lahastir machmashen l'chol, it's not possible to cover because there's no boundaries. Namin Kane, now you understand. Mahu omek hisponus begadlus, now you can understand what it means to reflect on the godless of Hashem. Well, not like we said before, it's not just saying how big Hashem is, how lofty he is, and how small we are. Klomar, to say, we made the object big. We made the covering small. It's not just that. Because you can't cover the object because the extremes are obvious. At the end of the day, we've made the object big. Unasa Yosko, it's made bigger. Achlosh Vesemain Lokul, but it doesn't mean it's limitless. Avol Kasher Adam, he's born in the Godless Abarish, and also, when you start thinking about the infinite God of loving Shabbat, Etzel, Oshach, on the soul, you begin to understand, it's not possible to even try to cover him up. It's an action of futility to cover up an infinite being. Komesach Shalosim, anything you put over. Loyia Bekocha Lahasr Sokol, you can't cover Hashem up at all. He's seen from every direction. He's no end. So now you really begin to see the futility of even, if no matter how big you are, even if you're the richest, most powerful, everything, at the end of the day, you can't cover him up. And that's the idea of the godless of Hashem. Okay, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Wow.